You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where we left off this morning. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are. Thank you that we could be here in your presence. Thank you very much. So make it all work for your honor and your glory. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. I would remind you that we share together God. God is alone God. He's the only God. He knows no other. That God who is alone God is the Savior. He's the only Savior. God has given you his word in the Bible that you have, I hope, in front of you somewhere. And it's the only book in all the world that's God's book. God tells you, you don't add or subtract in the beginning. And it comes at the end, don't add or subtract. So you don't have to wonder, how am I going to find God? What about God? We don't have to do that. God has given his word. And you have it, and we have it, fortunately, in our hands. Now, so having had that, said that, God is a glorious God. He's going to make himself known in a most wonderful way. Now, God, in his wonderful essence and nature and being, is three, three in one, one in three. Only God can be that, and God is God, and he tells you that. So he's the Father, and he's the Son, and he's God the Holy Spirit. Now God, that's God. Now God, how are you going to display yourself for glory? And in order to do that, he could have just created something, but he just didn't do anything but what he did. He decided that he would create humans before there were any, and God did that. Now, God having done that, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, so in God revealing and glorifying himself, what is he doing? God the Father, A, is sending the Son, B, and the Spirit of God is going to glorify the Son in his work on the cross. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are how we get saved. Who saves us? God. He's the only Savior. He's the only Savior, and God demonstrates his wonderful person in his saving. Who saves us? All God. God in his totality saves us. Now, in the doing that, God, how are we supposed to, when we come to know you and you want us to know you, and honor you, there's no question about that. And God, we are created for you. And we shared this morning to remind us of that all of us came from a Father. There's no one on earth apart from the Lord himself, and that's different. No one came, everyone had to come from a Father. But then all the fathers are put aside, and the mothers are put aside. And every human being that is born on planet Earth is directly accountable to God. Every one of them. No one owns anyone. They have all of slavery and different things, but no one owns anyone. And they're all accountable to God, every human being, directly. God is their creator. God created them. He's their redeemer. He died for them. So, each one accountable to God. Now, and to know him. Now, God, and you want us to know you. That's right. God, Christ died on the cross to bring God to us. And when God is brought to us, Christ brings us to God. So, God comes to us, our direction, and in the same moment, God places us in himself. Now, God, what are you after? I'm after you to know me, said God. And how are we supposed to know you? As the Father. As the Father. I'm the Creator. I am the source of your life. I am. No one else. You're uniquely designed, as we shared, your systems and everything in your body. You're uniquely designed. You live in a uniquely designed world with flowers, bugs, and bees, and planets, and stars. God did all of that. He's the Creator. What are we to know? We're to discover God as our Father. That's what it's about. So when we come to God and receive Christ as our Savior, God brings us to himself. Now, having said that, then the believing heart, especially in this church age of grace, is to discover that he is a Father. And we share together in 2 Corinthians 6, and we read it in verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of God. So that's personal, so we don't go very far. It's talking about us. You are the temple of the living God, the only God there is. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It's a unique relationship. I'm just telling you what God has done and why he's done it. And when you receive the Lord as your Savior, I'm trying to tell you what's supposed to be. Whether you think it, understand it, or whatever, it doesn't make any difference. You can't get saved. Go back to illustrations all over the place. Think of a little baby being born. And the little baby has no idea about a mother, a father, about birth, about anything. What do they know? And it takes a little while for them to get psychologically born, and they're born. Wow. And then they have to discover. So why are you surprised, if you are, when you get saved? There's a discovery. There has to be a opening up your eyes to see, etc. Now, so here in verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So it's a unique personal relationship. It isn't like Islam and all the other religions of the world, and all the other rituals of the world, and all the religions of the world, and all the rituals of the world will never get you to God. You'll never know God. You get wrapped up in whatever you want. People do. You'll never find God. Never find him. No. Now, God might be gracious in your search. People search for God, but they never find him till they come to his son. And now, having said that, God's going to be a father to us. So what am I looking for God to be if I know him as my Savior? A father. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to look at fathers. And we look at our fathers, our personal fathers, and other fathers and men. And depending on your background, depending on your concept of a man, your concept of a father, whatever you've been through, that's in your brain. That's what father means. Father, click, one of the things in counseling and all of that, you ask them a name and they tell you. Because it's what they think. When you get married, it's whatever you think. Father, mother, kids, babysitter, everything. It's already in your brain. And unless you get re-educated on it, it's already there. So, when we come to God as our Father, depends on how you're coming. And you have to understand, as we tried to say a little bit this morning, you have to understand God is the Father, and all other fathers fall short and disappear. And in God's eternal, wonderful future, there are no fathers. Just God is the Father. Wow. He's the Father. Now, And we share together when, Matthew 6 and 8 and 32 and that, we share together that our Father knoweth everything that we need. So the world's busy trying to, what? Live without the Father who saves, who created them and died for them. But the believing heart knows the Father. What do they know? The Father takes care of them. The Father takes care of them. And then the next thing, you know, in Matthew chapter 6, 33, then God says, seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So God already tells us that's what a father is. Now, how many believers enjoy God being a father? But it depends, doesn't it, what that means to a person. So I've got to get God the Father separate out here so I don't get confused with humans. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, please, to Ephesians. And remember, God's going to go. God wants the Lord Jesus Christ made it for God to get to us and for us to get to God. That's what, and to know God, how are we going to know him? As the Father. And we did that little bit today. Now, here in Ephesians, I said, then in Ephesians in chapter 4, picking up, if I may, in Ephesians chapter 4, let me add another word that will help us. Now, in the light of that, God is the Lord Jesus Christ's assignment is to show us the Father. That's what we shared in John chapter 14, to show us the Father. That's what it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. John 1:18. Why did God in Christ be born in Bethlehem, Judea? Verse 18, to explain God to us. To exegete, to explain God to us. So we could see God. What is the church? His body. They carry on his same ministry. Now hang on, that's what I'm trying to get you to enjoy that. If you're saved, that your assignment is to enjoy the Father saving you, enjoying God's wonderful ministry in you. For whom? For who? For God. Not for the government, not for each other, for God to be glorified. Hang on. Now, over in Ephesians 4 to get that. In Ephesians 4, among other things, here in verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul's in jail, etc., I beseech you that you walk, what are you trying to encourage us to do? To walk worthy, to balance the scale, so that your walking is pleasing unto the Lord. Walk worthy of the what? We're to walk in such a way of our vocation. The word vocation is the word calling. A summons you get from the court to summon you, an invitation given, a calling you for some to come for something, coming for something. What is the calling? Worthy of the calling. In verse 1, of the vocation, the calling, and then you'll see the verb, wherewith you are called, so you don't have to guess. There's noun, the verb. The vocation, calling, where you were called. You were called. When you got saved, you got called. Sliding down, I can, to verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, there's your word, in one body of your calling, four times. What were you called to? I don't have time for it, but just think of, if you would, in 2 Timothy 1:9, you are saved by God's holy calling. Same word, I'm going to give you the calling. Holy. How did God save you? It's a holy thing God does. It's a sacred thing. For what? For God to summon you to himself. And then you go in Hebrews 3:1, and we are to be partakers of his heavenly calling. It's holy. It's heavenly. Heavenly. What are we called to God? Holy, God, heavenly. And then we go to Philippians 3 in that. And that, what are we doing? For the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Holy, heavenly, high. What are we pursuing? We're pursuing the calling. What's the calling? The God has summoned you to himself for his glory and honor. That's what he's doing. So what are you saying in chapter 4, verse 1? Walk worthy of your calling. God has called you to himself in a most wonderful way. And that's why you get saved. In Christ Jesus. For God to get to you, for you to get to God. Wow. And now in saying that, keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to the Gospel of Luke. And in the Gospel of Luke, you remember, I'm going back to the first notice of our Lord. He is, remember now, in Luke chapter 12, and if I can, in verse 42, he is 12 years old. 12 years old. And they go into Jerusalem. They go to Jerusalem, and his mother, Joseph, his stepfather, and his mother take him to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he gets all caught up, understandably, in the temple with the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the rest of them, priests, and they're all busy, 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 doing what they do. And he gets right in the middle of them. And in the middle of them, he's talking to them, and they both are in verse 47, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Understandably, is a 12-year-old running circles around us. Wow. Now, and so Joseph and them were busy walking, and they going back home, and they found he isn't there, and they come back, and they end up, after 3 days or whatever, they end up back there, and they find him in the temple. And then they talk to him and say, you know it, if I can, in verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed and said, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. We've come. We've been looking 3 days. We didn't know where you were. 12-year-old. We don't know where you are. We don't know what happened to you. Don't you understand? Then our Lord said, verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist, the word know. Don't you know? Don't you know? Wist ye not that I must, the little word must, absolutely compulsory. I must be about, it's very needful, necessary. I must be about my father's business. And here's Joseph, stepfather, and they've been with him 12 years, but they didn't catch on yet. They didn't catch on. He said, don't you know, to them, here they are, and everyone's listening, I must be about my father's business. Now you say, oh yes, that's true, you're different. They didn't say that. What about everybody else? Verse 50. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. They didn't understand. I must be about my father's business. What are you supposed to be about? If you're a believer, if you ever get tuned in, and we get stay tuned in for a little bit, you must be about your father's business. That's why you were saved. You weren't saved for your vocation. Your calling isn't to go to work, raise children, cook and dishes and work and sweat and coming and going. No, it isn't about that. It changed by marriage. No, it isn't about that. Something has come to make it higher and holier, way up high. Do you understand? Way up above. in God's wonderful way. Now, in the process of that, in chapter 2 and verse 49, I must be about my Father's business. So, if you would go, please, over, if you would, and to over to the book of John and chapter 4. John and chapter 4. And you will notice, please, you must be about my Father's business. Now, God, what did you do? What was your whole purpose, Lord, to show the Father? The Lord Jesus Christ, John 14. If you have seen me, what? You have seen the Father. God, what are you doing? If I see you, I'm going to find the Father. What am I going to do? I'm going to find God. How am I going to find God? Because you have a Heavenly Father that is saving you and has saved you. You are His children, His sons, His joint heirs. You can roll all of those things at once. Going to work and home and doing everything, that's what you are. And they look at you. Do they understand? Oh, no. If you're waiting for them to understand that God, the Creator, is you, is in your heart, forget it. They got to get saved. It ain't going to happen. Now, so God, here we are looking. And God, we are given an assignment, a wonderful assignment, to carry out what you did. You represented God the Father in word and deed and works and everything you did. Well, that's why the Lord Jesus in John 14 is going to say, the works that I did, you're going to do greater works. You're going to represent me. You aren't going to do them. I'm going to do them in you. I'm going to be, I represent the Son and the Father in you. When you think of John 14, 23 in that, when you receive me, said the Lord, you receive the Father. You can't have one of us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I'm God. How am I going to know? My Father, God, Father, Abba, Father. That's what you keep saying. I got it. I'm getting it. Good. So therefore, in the Father's business, and since we're in the Father's business, and we aren't employed, we aren't an employee by an employer, we aren't that. We aren't employed. What's your job? We don't have a job. We aren't employed. We don't get paid. What have we done? God has brought us into His business, the things of God. He's brought us into that to represent Him in an awesome way. Wow. Therefore, God, what does it mean to be in the Father's business? So John chapter 4, I start to say, and just to take it so you're reminded a little, John chapter 4, and picking up, if I can, directly, remember they wanted to feed, it was time for lunch, they were hungry. John chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food. What is your food? It's to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. That's my food. Why are you breathing? To finish God's work. I'm in business with God. It isn't about eating. It isn't about sleeping. It isn't about pain and headache and heartache. No, it's not about that. It's about representing God the Father, His business. You are in His business, in the family business, in a most unique way. John chapter 12. And in John chapter 12, you are, we're going to call, our Lord said it, going directly in the light of all of these things, verse 26. If, and it may be true, it may not be true, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And the word serve there, and that is the word deacon, to wait. Wait on tables, to serve. That's what it means. If any man serve me, I'm going to serve the Son, that's right. John 17, you know, hang on to it. Turn that, John 17, 18. As the Father sent me, what? So send I you. So how am I going to go? It's the same way. You represent the Father in the Father's business. He continues his business in Christ, in you. That's what he's doing. Now you have to enjoy that. Are you enjoying that? Are you enjoying his business? That's what I'm trying to get us to get to whatever. Now, in the process of that, so as the Father sent me, so send I you. Okay, God, now you're going to give us all kinds of information. That's what the New Testament is about. New Testament is about the believer enjoying a unique fellowship and relationship to God that is to be realized. Therefore, over to Colossians and the epistles, etc., and in Colossians and in chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, may I pick up, please, in thought. If I can, now here's, we're in the Father's business. If God, Christ is in you, that's what he's going to do. He's going to do what? His Father's business. He's going to continue his Father's business. Why? He represents the Father. He said it isn't about, the Lord Jesus said, it isn't about me, even though I'm God. It isn't about me, it's about my Father. And if you understand the Father, then you'll understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You'll understand G-O-D, the only God and the only Savior. He's your Father. He's your Father. Huh. Okay. Now, Colossians 1. What about being in the Father's business in a most wonderful way? Colossians 1 and verse 9. From this cause, prayer, in the prayers of the God, when God has gives you his prayers, then you need to pay much attention. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire. What do you want to pray and desire? That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What did the Lord Jesus say? John chapter 4. I came, my food isn't eating, it isn't going to work, it isn't going anywhere. My food is to do the will of God. Now, what are you going to keep telling us, God? So if I'm going to be in the Father's business, what is God going to do? He's going to do his will. Whose business is it? The person out there in a whatever assembly, using back to thing out there doing something. No, it isn't that. The Father's running the business. God's running the world and the universe, and God's busy doing it in his magnificence, in his grace, in his mercy. Wow. So God, what are we supposed to know in your business? You want us to know that we're to be honored, looking to you to outwork your will. Uh-huh, that's what you're looking for. That's right. Over, if you would, please, to chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, and picking up, if I can, in verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, full-heartedly, with all your heart and soul. Do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. We don't do it because of them. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For reason, why? You serve. And that word serve isn't like the word deacon. That is the word slave. A slave. A third of the Roman Empire or so were slaves. Slaves. As a slave. Oh, slavery's bad. Oh, no. Slavery is as old as man. Old as man. Oh, long time. Wow. Hang on. Now, so therefore, God, what are we doing? We're going to go and serve. And that's what we're doing. As we're going to, looking to you, God, to our work. Well, what about everyone says this and someone says that? No, it may be. If it contradicts what I'm saying and what I'm doing, you listen to me. Think of Acts 5 again, 28 and that. We ought to obey God. We don't serve men. Remember? We don't serve men. No, no. We're here. That's why we're here. We're here. We don't represent this government, God bless it, and all of that. Nope, we don't. We represent God. And we look to God. And God, that's what our job is. Our job isn't out there. They have no say. They don't even know what we're doing in here. And if they sat here, they still wouldn't know. But you know. And therefore, we live like that. Not only here, but out there. That's how we live. And we go to work and home and school and marriage and kids and coming and going and easy, hard, and much and little. Wow. We live in it. Wow. And if you think this is something, think, we said it today a little bit. Think of these, if the Lord tarries and we live, and I hope not, I hope not that we, let's see how that came out. Either way, it's fun. We're looking for the Lord's return. As you do that, just think of the seasons coming up. You're going to have the cold season, the flu season. Now, how are you going to identify the normal seasons with the virus? The virus is back. The virus is back. The virus is back. Isn't that right? And we're all going to get caught up in it, right? Wrong. Well, that's going to happen, isn't it? Come on. The days ahead are going to be awesome. Wow. Now, so God, here's your will, your wonderful will. Ephesians chapter 5, back over there. Ephesians 5. And you will notice, please, in Ephesians in chapter 5, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 14. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We shared all that. Then what are we going to know when we do that? What are we going to do when we wake up and realize what we need to know? Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, most accurately, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. And, verse 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You live in evil days. I want you to live properly in the evil days. How am I going to do that? Understand what I want. You represent the Father in the Father's business. So you go about everything and try to be as gentle and nicely as you can, but you understand. You represent the Father. You don't represent the system. You represent the Father. So that you're being governed and guided by the God in you. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and by the way, verse 18 always, and therefore be not drunk with wine, but wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. So God, what do we need to know and understand your will? What is the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry? You know it. Well, over to Romans 8. Romans in chapter 8. Be filled with the Spirit of God, okay? To understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay. What are we going to pray about? Got to pray about something. Pray about something. Okay. Romans chapter 8, picking up in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, our failures, our faults. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So we don't know. I don't know what Father wants. We just work for Him. We serve Him. That's all. God, we serve Him. So God, what do you want? Hang on. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now God, the Holy Spirit, wants to represent the Father and the Father's will to be outworked. And therefore, verse 27, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. The Father knows, absolutely, what the Spirit of God is going to represent, the need, the heart, and how it's going to all work out. What is the mind of the Spirit? Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The will of God. That's what he's doing. You want God's will, understanding what God's will. The Spirit of God's ministry is to outwork that will. I don't know what to say. We do what we do as best we understand it, using our common sense and everything, and we try to do it. And that's good. But you need to relax with that, so you don't get over caught up in it. And then you get other people caught up in it. And you want to be a good example. And relax. And give God some space. Wow. So here, Romans. And we know, when we do that, verse 29, and we know, whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate, mark out ahead of time, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 29. So God has a wonderful plan, that's right, to be conformed to his Son. And therefore, verse 28, and we know, verse 28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And we love God. We should love God. He first loved us. I want God's will for my life. I'm in the business with God. I'm in the business with the Father. How much pay do you get? I don't get paid. How much sacrifice? It's nothing to do with that. It doesn't have to do with anything. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, that's what you do. You're working for the Father. The Father's doing his wonderful will. And you want to enjoy it. You see, wow. So therefore, the Spirit of God does all of that, all of those wonderful things for us. So in the process, God's going to go and honor himself in a most wonderful way in the Father's business. And Israel had opportunity, but the special people, they just never enjoyed it. So here's the church. The church represents his body, his witnesses. And the world looks, and what's the world going to see? They're going to see a sinner saved by grace. They eat the same food, work out of the same building, they do everything the same. They're different. They got saved in a world of darkness. They became the children of light in a state of people around them who were dead spiritually. They became alive. Wow. That's what they did. They don't know why. They can't explain it. And most believers don't really get to enjoy it, to practice it. Yeah, hang on, because we're not going to get very far. I'm sorry. In the meantime, so here's God. God, we're looking to you to outwork your wonderful will as joint heirs. And we're in the business, that's right. Now, being in the business of God, and that's what he's going to out. What's he going to do? He's going to outwork his will. So whatever his plans are in production, whatever his plans are in selling and buying, using a business illustration, whatever he's going to do, he's going to do it. He's the boss. And you're his vessel. You're his to outwork his business in your life. And what is his primary business? It's to do a wonderful thing in your heart. And people can look. Are they going to understand? No. They're going to look, and that's what God's going to do. And God's going to do a wonderful thing and change your life. And you have to say, I don't want to be changed. I like what I do and how I think. This is how I always felt. This is how I always think. Well, maybe you ought to rethink how you think and redo it, you know? Why not let it get re-educated? Learn and unlearn and relearn again. So that, hey, hold it. I don't need to do that. I got a Heavenly Father. And my Heavenly Father, it provides for me his heavenly resources. And his heavenly resources are there for what reason? That I can pursue his high calling, his purpose, his purpose for me to be on earth still. Otherwise, it'd take us home. Why are you still here if you're saved? And people that even aren't saved, God isn't finished yet. For other people up and down the street, the people you know, they have opportunities another day to believe. Something else is going to be in the different places, the capitals of the world and all of that. All of those different things are going to take place. And they're all there busy, busy, busy. And God lets all of that work out. You know, they're born, they have next days in God's wonderful timing, in His wonderful will. Some have short days, short lives, long lives, like George Burns and them, I think it was them, people like that. I think they lived in their 90s. In their 90s, did they? Somewhere up there? And I wonder, those rascals, I don't think they were very close to God. But man, don't pick George, it's no offense. I don't mean that, no. I don't know George Burns, but I just know some of those guys, their lifestyles were not very good. So if they were saved, well, they lived a long time. They did. But God, here we are, and you have a wonderful plan, and you're going to outwork that plan, and you're going to do it. And therefore, you're going to change us. That's what you're doing. Uh-huh, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing that. That's my business. What's your business, God? Ephesians, you don't have to turn there. Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. I'm going to do what? I'm going to conform you to the image of my Son. Little baby is going to grow up and become the man. Aha! The believer is to be growing up and to become the son that they are. They were born a son in God's grace. They were born a child of God in God's grace. And they have to grow up. And that's what the business is, to grow up my children. My children, I'm the father. We're the children. That's right. Childlike. I don't want to be child. Then don't go anywhere. You want to give God an argument? Argue with him. What we're talking about is unheard of because no one believes that. But God said it. That's what he's up to. You want to know what God holds us accountable for? Did you honor my will and word? That's what I want to know. Or did you make, I'm going to live my life and die, and when I die, I go to heaven, and he can tell me what he wants. That's fine. Now, in the process of all of that, so therefore, God, we looked at the business, and if we're in the family's business, outworking his grace and glory, that's what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to understand that in the family's business, there are burdens. There are burdens. Mm-hmm. You have to do them. That's required. Christ had to go his hour. He had to live those 3 1/3 years in public ministry in all unbelief all around him. They didn't understand. He just right down the course to the cross. That's what he did. And he did that. And he had to finish that. Mm-hmm. And he told us, that's what we have to do. We're here on earth. It isn't a picnic. You know, it isn't to get saved and you can be starry-eyed and dreamer. No, you get saved, and then you understand you're in the family business. The family business is opposed by the devil, the world system, and the world system and the devil do not want God's family business to take place. They would like to eliminate God's family business, that is, they'd like to eliminate the believing believers who are in the family business. And therefore, there are burdens that have to be borne, and understand that. So therefore, over to Matthew. Matthew in chapter 11. So in the business, we got to have the burdens. That's right. Say, I want God's will. Well, God's will for your life is in a world of darkness. And it isn't in heaven yet. So you're going to have to go through whatever. Because the world doesn't want you to grow. The world doesn't want you to know. And the world doesn't want God's will. But God does. So therefore, and you represent him, therefore, God, what are you going to tell us? In verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because, why, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Babes, infants. The world system hated me, he said. They rejected me. And I have talked to little fishermen and nobodies, and they believe me. Be glad that you're one of them. Ignorant fishermen that took God at his word and became mighty men for God. Wow. And therefore, you reveal it. I didn't give it to the wise and prudent. I gave it to people that would humbly let me be God their creator, God their savior, God their father. And verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Get your learning from me, your experience, to experience something, to learn. Get your learning from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For reason, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What I want you to do is get under my yoke. Remember, we had the yoke, and here's the yoke on one side. Who's on the other side? Christ is. I want you to get under my yoke. Not your yoke, my yoke. So here's God, God's will for your life, and you line up to carry out God's business, and the oxen are there, and they are brought together, and you get under, if you can imagine that, in a good way, and you there you are next to the Lord, and you know what's over your head. And the big yoke, it's a heavy yoke, actually. And I have one over my fireplace that my grandfather used on the farm. We used to plow with it. Wow. So here's the big yoke, and you put your head under it. Now, what do you know? That your head is always next to whose head? Together, you're always next to the Lord. What's over his head? The same yoke that's over your head. And the same yoke that's over your head is over his head. And what's he going to do? He's outworking his will, the will of the Father in you. Christ in you is going to outwork his wonderful will in your life. So everything that's going to be, that whatever, you're going down the corridor, down the channel of time, what are you doing? You're under the yoke. But who's next to you? Christ is under the same yoke. It's God in Christ outworking his wonderful will in your life. And you're going down, so there's nothing you're going to face that he isn't on top of, because you're under the same yoke. And that's no joke. You're under the same yoke. Under the same yoke. Wow. So as I go, I want to know that. So God, you're telling me, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I'm going to do that. So as we go down the corridor of time, hang on, do it again, another way, over to 1 John. If I can, in 1 John chapter 5, and picking up the thought, if I may, may I go directly in the light of it to verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. His word. So what he's telling you, what he's going to do is commandments. He's telling you something. The word grievous is the word hard. Hard. Hard to carry the load. In Matthew 11, you have a load that's very heavy, but it's very light because Christ is under it and he takes you through it. So when everything should fall apart, it doesn't. And the peace of God, Philippians 4, which passes what? All understanding, mounts God in your heart. Explanation? There isn't any. It's just you're trusting God. And that's what you do. You go down the corridor and you trust God. Wow. That's what you're doing. Uh-huh. And so in doing it, and they aren't grievous. They aren't hard to be carried. They aren't. What do you think I tell you stuff for? Because I'm there to make it happen. Be ye holy for what? Now that's impossible. No, it isn't. Why would God tell us such an impossible thing? Because we can't be holy. God said, that's true, you can't. But I make you holy. Think of Matthew 5. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let's see you do that one. You can't do that one. God does it. Who's perfect in you? Christ. Who's made you perfect in his perfectness? God saved you, did a wonderful thing for you. We don't realize it because we're still in these bodies on planet Earth. And God has done a wonderful thing to save us in a most wonderful way. So God hears these burdens, and all those burdens are there, and they sit there, and they're there on top of us all the time. And therefore, God, what are we going to do? Well, God, we're going to have to look for your will to be outworked. Now, in the process of that will to be outworked, and we are to be under your yoke, and under your yoke, you're going to outwork your will if I stay there. I don't want to back off. I don't want to sneak away. I want to keep right under the yoke. God, you're the master. And I hear you, and we want to follow you. How are we going to follow you? Keep your head under the yoke, and I'll outwork my will for your life. I have a wonderful plan for your life. We've said that for 7,000 times. Wonderful plan, if you'd ever let it happen. And you have to go through the burdens. You have to go through them. I have to understand them. They aren't going to be easy. I didn't intend to make it easy. I want you to learn something. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Count it all joy when you fall into what? Divers and all kinds of temptations. Wow, why would you say these things to us? Because I'm going to help you. I'm going to help us make it. You're in darkness. You're in a world that hates you. And I want to develop a relationship to the Father. God wants to develop a relationship to himself as your Father. And as your Father, he knoweth your needs. And he's going to do what he's going to do in a most wonderful way. And so God's going to do it. And therefore, God, you're going to do it. And think of, where to go? Okay. Proverbs. In Proverbs and in chapter 60, as you know. In Proverbs 60, and you know, the God, you do what you do. 16's an awesome chapter, so let me just go to verse 3. Commit thy works, roll thy works, roll like you think you're going to have a truck, and you put the barrels, you roll the barrels, roll them on top of the truck for the truck to carry them. Commit thy works, what hast unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So God, here's what I have to do. I want to think right through this, so I make sure that God's carrying. What do I have to face? What am I facing? I want to look to God to make sure I'm trust letting him. He has to hold the football. He has to make it work. And when I do that, my thoughts calm down, and I'm able to handle it, hopefully, better. Wow. And therefore, sliding over now in the light of that to verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, your lap and mine, we've done it 100 times. And the whole disposing, judge who makes decisions, and the whole disposing, the judging thereof, who's the judge? God is. God's the judge. That's he's the judge. You're under his yoke. He's the judge. Think of 1 Corinthians 10:13 and that. All kinds of things. Everyone feels them, tastes them, goes through them. Verse 13, but you are either left to go through them or work them out. God's going to do it. He's the Father. And by the way, when you're done with that whole wonderful section, what? And God is always faithful to make sure he does everything. He's the Father. I said, I know what your need is. I know what you need. You're under the yoke, under my son. Keep going. In the will of God, that's what you want. And you do the best you can, is the best you understand it, and you trust God and keep growing and knowing. And that's what you're going to do in a most wonderful way. And God is going to outwork it. That's what Father's business. And you're going to have the burdens. You're going to have them. You are. We got more, but time is gone. I hope you got a little bit. In the Father's business. That's what we're in. It's a wonderful thing. I don't know how people don't talk about it. They don't even think about it, I guess. But God does. And that's what it's about. That's what church is about. You know all these things. That's what it's about. It isn't about other stuff. No. So God, you have to help us. And I hope you got a little bit. God is our Father. And you remember, again, Galatians and of Romans 8 and that. And the Spirit of God, present tense, a command, present tense saying, Abba, present tense I should say, Abba, Father, Father. What do you keep doing? I'm going to help you understand. I want you to be looking to the Father. What are we doing? Trusting the Father. When you come unto God, the Father, Jesus said, make sure you come in my name. Don't ask me, ask my Father. In my name, represent me. I'm on the other side of the yoke. You want to line up the yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and the will of God? That's what you want. And you go. No. That's what you do. Well, and things aren't going to get too easy, so be of good cheer and exercise. Exercise rightly. And learn. Do it. Do it. And don't, when you lay in bed tonight, oh, what am I going to do? Don't do it. Just thank God he knows what he's going to do. And you use your common sense, you know. If you forgot to turn the iron off, I'd say, get up and turn it off. That's what I'd say. You know, there's some common sense things you do. The house is on fire, I say, get out. You know, I mean, that's what I do. But the rest of it, you're just going to trust God. How do I know what the morning's going to bring? How do I know if who's going to be alive? Who's going to say what? Wow. God knows. Sufficient of the day, if we kept reading in Matthew 5, sufficient is the day of evil. There's enough problems in a given day. Don't try to add any more burdens about the next day. And don't try to carry the burdens of yesterday that are all gone. Just today is enough. The burdens are enough today for you. Live through today. And we'll try tomorrow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and thank you very much as we try to understand. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name. Spirit of God, thanks. Amen.